Blog Talk Radio.
Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond.
Hey, world.
You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. You have just tuned into Interviews with the Stars. I am your host, of course, Ms. Diamond. I am so excited to have you all in the studio today and listening, taking a part of this wonderful show right here on Faces of Success Radio. I have a lot of great music for you guys, of course, today. I have my hot topics and a very special guest today, platinum recording artist Mr. Dennis Nelson. Today's show is definitely dedicated to a woman who stood up for women's rights. She's been such an inspiration to people such as myself who are writers. She's been an advocate for women and just as a black woman as well. So today's show is dedicated to Ms. Maya Angelou, who passed away on yesterday. So today's show is dedicated to her. I'm going to be back with a few of her poems and a few other inspirational topics for you today. So thank you for tuning in to Interviews with the Stars with your girl, Ms. Diamond, on Faces of Success Radio. Right now I'm going to bring you Dreaming by Fantasia. Don't never, ever stop chasing your dreams. All right? Let's go.
Just dreams when you're stuck inside your head, and all it takes is a little help from you. You know it's true that dreams
And that was Fantasia Dream. That's definitely what you need to follow. You need to listen to that. You need to take heed to that, because it's very, very imperative that you never give up on the things that you definitely believe in, because it's your belief. It's no one else's. And you are responsible for your destiny and your success. So don't ever give up on your dream. Women like Maya Angelou, she was very inspirational to women. She was just an amazing person. One person that I never got an opportunity to meet, but being able to read her work and read her poems and her stories and to just see her on television, she inspired me to continue on and to write and to continue on to get my degree. And we had to study a lot about her. So I want to say that I'm really appreciative to have been able to take part in this with Maya Angelou's life and her work. And she's reached the White House. She's been to millions of places. So you guys, don't ever give up on your dreams. She's inspired women like Queen Latifah, Oprah, I mean, you name it, Alicia Keys. She's been there. So I'm going to play one song by Queen Latifah. It's called UNITY. That's Unity. Right here on Faces Up Success Radio. I am your host, Ms. Diamond, on Interviews with the Stars.
Brother, call a girl a bitch or a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on right, cause it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes.
Who you calling a bitch?
UNITY.
Days at work give you an attitude and you abrupt. Right. It take it out on me, but that's about enough. You put your hands on me again, I put your ass in handcuffs. I guess I shuffled deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. Yeah. This is my notice of the duel. I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore. That's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you ain't.
Who you calling a bitch?
Ain't none of this worth getting your face like, cause that's what happened to your homegirl.
Welcome back. Welcome back. That song means to me, it's all about self-respect and how you carry yourself and how you allow other people to treat you. You know, it should be all about unity. It should be all about not offending the next person. And if you do, then you need to apologize. You need to instantly try to reconcile the situation. But it's all about how somebody treats you and your perception of yourself. So, ladies, treat yourself with respect. Fellas, treat yourselves with respect. And that's how you live. So there was a statement from Dr. Maya Angelou's family. It says, Dr. Maya Angelou passed quietly in her home before 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Her family is extremely grateful that her cessation was not delivered by loss of comprehension. She lived a life as a teacher, an activist, an artist, and a human being. She was a warrior for equality, tolerance, and peace. Her family is extremely appreciative of the time we had with her, and we know that she is looking down upon us. So right now I'm going to play for Mrs. Maya Angelou, who today's show is dedicated to. I'm going to play Halo by Beyonce. Get ready. Next hour, we will have Mr. Dennis Nelson. You ready for that? Exclusive right here on Interviews with the Stars.
Build
welcome back to Faces of Success Radio. I am your host, Ms. Diane, and you have tuned in to Interviews with the Stars. So let's talk about Ms. Maya Angelou. So Mrs. Angelou has received over 50 honorary degrees, and she was also the Reynolds Professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University. One of her Why the Caged Bird Sings. Maya Angelou was a wonderful child who received many awards, and she's reached the White House. This mute little girl has a very soft voice that will echo through the centuries forever. I mean, she's someone we will never, ever forget. Her memory will definitely live on. The 86-year-old Renaissance woman, an award-winning writer, poet, actress, and witness to history, died quietly Wednesday morning at her home on North Carolina campus of Wake Forest University. Praise for the influential Ms. Angelou poured in Wednesday from two presidents, allegiance for her literary peers and generations of admirers from Harlem to Hollywood who quoted her works from memory. Michelle and I join millions around the world in remembering one of the brightest lights of our time, a brilliant writer, a fierce friend, and a truly phenomenal woman, President Obama said in a statement. While Maya's day may be done, we take comfort in knowing that her song will continue flung up to heaven, and we celebrate the dawn that Maya Angelou helped bring. Ms. Angelou was a prominent presence in Harlem through the decades, contributing to local charities, visiting jazz clubs, and hosting many friends at her home on West 121st Street. Ms. Maya Angelou, this song is dedicated to you, and this show is dedicated to you as well. You are more than a woman, okay? So for women like myself and other people she has inspired, just want to play this right here. Mary, Mary, it's the God in me. Because you know what? One thing about Ms. Angelou, she talked about how important God was to her and, you know, how she wanted to stand up for other women, and she wanted to always inspire, and that is exactly what she did. So, hey, let's not be sad about it. Let's actually celebrate the life of Ms. Dr. Maya Angelou right here on Faces of Success Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
young people, go on and stand up real quick. Come on. Come on.
Yeah,
we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
And there you have it. That is Mr. Kirk Franklin with Brighter Day. So that song is dedicated to anybody out there who is going through a rough time or a rough patch right now. Just want to be there and, you know, let you know that whatever space you're in, whatever mental space or physical space you're in right now, that definitely you're going to have a brighter day, you know. So I shout that song out to anybody who's going through anything, and even to myself, you know. We always need to look forward to a brighter day. All right? If you're just now tuning in, I am your girl, Miss Diamond. You have tuned in to Interviews with the Stars right here on Faces of Success Radio. And did you hear those instruments on that song? Oh, people really don't understand that. The songs are not always just composed of the person who wrote it or the person who's singing it. You know, it's all about the guitars and the keyboards and everyone behind the scenes as well, just trying to make it happen, you know. So with that being said, I have an interview with Mr. Dennis Nelson coming up next hour. Jazz, lead guitarist, musician, filmmaker. You won't want to miss that. Right here on Face Up Success Radio. I am the girl, Miss Diamond. Here you go with Patti LaBelle. If you don't know me by now, I'm going to take y'all back right here on Face Up Success Radio.
Yeah, I like to do one of those. Sometimes you think you're all known about. I think it's kind of like your ego gets in the way. And you take for granted somebody just knows what you're all about, my dear. And they just don't. Oh, shucks. I'm gonna try and talk to you, sugar. You break your back, you break your legs, and you break your face. Trying to make these people know you're in life. But somehow, they just don't want to try to. So you say to yourself, is it something I said? Is it something I done? Is it the way I look? Is it the way my clothes come on faster? And if that turns you off, baby, you ain't worth me anyway. So you fasten your clothes, you check your speech, and you check out your drag and everything else, your face. And you find out you're still in trouble. So then you say to yourself, self, is it worth it? No. Since it's been 10 long years, this is the situation that I'm talking about. 10 long years, and if you don't know,
that song really holds some weight, you know. She just said, basically, if you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. So that brings me to today's topic of discussion. I'm just going to ask you guys, how long does it really take to get to know someone? I mean, what is your time limit? How do you really feel about that? You know, does it take 6 months to really know someone? Or do you really feel like it takes 5 or 10 years to really know someone? And during that time frame that you're in the process of getting to know someone, do you really hold them accountable for every little single thing that they do? Or are you really more forgiving of what they have done? And, you know, do you kind of overlook it? So, you know, Patty kind of set the tone. You know, if you don't know me by now, I don't know. But she said 10 years. Her situation was 10 years. So, I don't know. So, let me know. Call in right now and talk to me. And let's chat about it. Right now I'm going to play I'm in Love right here on Faith Radio by Mary J. Blige. I am your host, Miss Diamond. There you have it. I'm in love right here on Faith of Success Radio. That was your girl, Mary J. Blige. Oh, my gosh. I definitely love that song. And tonight's topic is about how long does it really take to get to know someone, you know, or I played Patti LaBelle a little bit earlier, and she kind of said, if you don't know me by now, you will never, never know me, okay? So how long does it really take to get to know someone you're dating? I think that's a tough question to answer because getting to know someone on a romantic level, someone you might want to spend the rest of your life with, is something that has to go through a number of stages. Your relationship with girlfriends are different from your relationships with your buddies or your family, or at least I hope they are. So it's only natural that you get to know them in a different way. First off, when you're trying to attract someone, we're all a bunch of big, fat liars. I mean, have you ever just wanted to be somebody because you thought that's exactly what they expected? Well, I'm here to tell you to be yourself, you know? Even those of us who claim to just be ourselves, on our very least projecting some sort of idealized image, emphasizing on what we think is desirable about ourselves and important in the person we're looking for. So in the beginning stages, we're really only operating on attraction and common interest. By the third date or so, you either develop a chemistry or you don't. You still don't know each other, but you still have a pretty good idea of what each other is all about, you know? You know if he or she is too needy or a little loose. You know if they're too full of themselves or hung up. You know if they're mama's boys or if they're daddy's girls, you know? You both have enough information to form a general impression and decide whether you like each other or not. And that makes it either time to move forward or time to bounce. I'm sorry. Once you get to know each other in a biblical sense, that's usually when you start to learn more personal things about each other. You know, emotional and physical intimacy fit together. So once you've seen each other naked, maybe, then maybe you'll start revealing your childhood. You know, if it's a lady, she'll start telling you how many dudes she slept with. Or, you know, if you're a fella, you'll start confessing to her about the time you stole some money from somebody and you hid it, whatever. But at this point, the two of you probably need to know a lot about each other if you're going to go there. But you still don't really know each other. It's called gathering information stage. You know, you have a lot of pieces that make her who she is or him who he is, but you really still don't know how you two may fit together. Well, over the course of about 3 months or so, you know, when all the deep, dark secrets have been sealed and you defiled each other in each and every way, you start to peel those levels of comfortability off. You know, you start to resort back. You start to be somebody that you wasn't in the beginning. When you stop picking up after yourself and your feet up in the bathroom and she stops cooking for you and starts letting her see you without your makeup, generally, that's when you stop trying to impress each other. That's when you really start to know each other. Stella, she's your girlfriend now, and your guards are starting to come down. Oh, yeah. It's basically when the honeymoon ends. You know that little short phase after the wedding. You know that little bit of time where everything is cute. Everything is wonderful. So you'll start to notice her laugh is so annoying. Oh, my God. How she chews with her mouth open. And, you know, if you still like each other at this point, it's a pretty good sign. You know, up to 3 months. We only talk for 3 months now. But because of the shine of newness starts to fade away, you both start getting comfortable. It's basically the final test. After 9 months in, it's probably when you know the person as well as you're ever going to know them. You're spending enough time with them so that you've been the best and you've been the worst. You two have been the best and the worst to each other. And you both can really see, this is what I have to offer. If you're still happy, then, hey, move forward. Make it official. Say, hey, this is the relationship I want to be in or not. At that time, after 9 months of trying to get to know someone and you spent quite a bit of time with each other, if you still don't like that person, then guess what? It's time to split. So I guess it's not hard to figure out after all. 3 dates to know if she's your girlfriend, he's your boyfriend material. 9 months to know if he's marriage material, if she's marriage material. Take that to the bank. for any more on this topic, of course, you can hit me up on Facebook. You can add me. My name is Ms. Diamond. One word, Hot Topics is the last name. So hit me up. Right now we have a caller on the line, so see what they have to say about, if you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. Hey, caller, how are you? Hello, caller, are you still there? Well, I think we've lost our caller, but we're going to jump back onto the topic right here on Faith of Success Radio. So if you don't know me by now, I'm just saying, 9 months, you spent a lot of time with that person, you've gotten to know them, you may even allow them to see your kids by then. That's awesome to me. I'm just saying. It doesn't really take you to be with somebody or to have to be around them for 3 years and then you finally let them meet your kids. No. After about 9 months, you decide, hey, this is the person I'm going to be with. Then it's time to start introducing them to your family and your friends and the people that are important to you, because by now this person should be important to you. Well, I don't know, but I like it. So, seeing that we're having a good show today and we have Mr. Dennis Nelson coming up next hour, I'm going to play Glamorous by Fergie right here on Interviews with the Stars.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Flowers, flowers, the colors,
Well, that was Glamorous by Mrs. Fergie. And, of course, we're going to jump back on this topic of how long does it really take to know a person. So we have a call on the line, and we're going to take the comment from the caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you there? Hello, caller. Well, maybe we lost that caller, but that's fine. So give us a call back right here on Face of Success Radio. We're talking about how long does it really take to get to know someone. Well, Mark Twain said that love seems the swiftest, but it's the slowest of all growth. No man or woman really knows what perfect love is until they have been married a quarter of a century. Wow, that's amazing. But, hey, Mark Twain makes a good point. But I don't think it takes quite that long these days. I mean, really. For example, if you meet someone online, most of the time you know a great deal about them. Someone else knows them, or you have a mutual friend in common. And, you know, you may have done your research, or they may have done their research on you. And, you know, it is what it is. And you kind of know a little bit of information before you even get to meet them. But, of course, you have the hope that he or she may have been honest in disclosing that personal information that you have read online, if that's where you two have met. But this does take some due diligence, and it isn't what dating is all about, you know. I usually find that people who are disappointed in those they forgave or they forged a relationship with either didn't ask enough questions or they didn't really listen to the answers. When people tell you about themselves and their behaviors, for instance, admitting to have a quick temper, most people fail to notice, or they simply ignore the red flags or warning signs. If you see one, it's supposed to stop you in your tracks. Unfortunately, most of us refuse to stop when it comes to romantic love. But I'm not saying in that sense that just because you see one red flag, you are supposed to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and keep it pushing. I mean, sometimes you have to learn to work through the difficult times and learn to just overlook some of those red flags, but you just keep a mental note. A red flag is not a bomb. It's just something to say, hey, I need to make a mental note. But, hey, when love has got you in its gas, no flag or no warning from a friend will stop you from going full speed ahead. I mean, even if you suspect that opening your heart may result in getting you broken, you'll do it anyway because the lure of love is powerful. I mean, it's like a magnet. It's like, oh, there's love. Let me go towards it. Let me grasp it, you know? But thinking that you would change a person once you're in a relationship is definitely unfortunate. It's mere fantasy. People do improve, don't get me wrong, but only if they want to. So relying on someone to come to his or her senses isn't a good bet. You are better off dating longer and seeing how someone chooses to grow rather than wishing and hoping or trying to force someone to make the changes that you desire. Come on now. The rule of thumb here is not to get engage for at least 6 months and try to force everything and, oh, let's just rush into marriage. But, hey, wait another year before getting married. It'll all be worth it. I mean, if you don't think so, just ask someone you know who's in the process of a breakup. They will definitely be honest with you about some things that they'll change from what their past and definitely what they'll do different going forward. I mean, finding the right person to love is something to take very seriously. Relationships don't just work themselves out. You have to work on them. You hear that? You have to work on them. You have to be willing to give yourself. You have to be willing to forgive. And you definitely have to be willing to, I'm going to say it, forget. Forget all the things that they've done to you. You know why? Because some people do make mistakes. Some mistakes are larger than others. But you know what? At the end of the day, it is still a mistake. I'm here to tell you that when you think you have found someone worth sharing the rest of your life with, you should do your homework before settling down. I mean, it could be you yourself that has the issues. It's not always that other person. You know, sometimes we like to point the blame and point the finger at the other person, but guess what? When you're pointing that finger at the other person, you have three right back at you. So those who take time generally end up with better relationships, less chaos, more love to share, and a stronger commitment. This is one of the biggest steps you could ever take. You need to do everything that you can to make sure that you don't stumble and you don't fall. So, would you get out of that? Take your time. Listen to each other. understand that in the process of getting to know someone, you might not like everything about them, but guess what? Go ahead and find me a perfect person. I'll wait. And then let me see how successful you are with that. So right now on Face Up Success Radio, I'm going to play Heaven, BB and CC Winans right here with Interviews with the Stars. Next up, we have Mr. Dennis Nelson, platinum recording artist. You guys definitely don't want to miss this. You want to stay tuned right here on Interviews with the Stars. I'm your girl, Ms. Diamond.
Willing to die. Hello.
Thank you all for tuning in. That last song was Amazing Grace by the wonderful platinum recording artist, Mr. Dennis Nelson. So we would like to welcome Mr. Dennis Nelson to the studio. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing awesome, awesome. Thank you for being my special guest today on Interviews with the Stars. How's your evening going?
Yes. Very good. My pleasure. And our relationship, the way I do it is I just don't talk.
You don't talk.
No,
well,
I just don't talk enough.
So I know enough. But you have to tell your listeners and you have to tell your fans more about your music and, you know, how you became this superstar. I mean, your work is amazing.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of hard work, you know. It's a lot of practice, a lot of studying.
Okay. So you're known as Mr. Holy Roll or Mr. Finger Roll Nelson. Tell us how that name came about.
Well, I'm known as Finger Roll. I guess one of the guys from the newspaper was having fun with the fact that I was starting to do gospel jazz. I got the name Finger Roll because of my style of playing. I guess if you listen closely, you can hear some violin, you know, sort of fingering, because when I was in college, I studied with a violin player. So I would play things like Paganini and Bach on guitar and with a pick. And so I kind of developed this speed and, you know, so the name Finger Roll came about. So then it kind of stuck. It was originally for my band. I called the band Finger Roll because everybody could improvise and play, but, you know, I was out front. So they would start calling me Finger Roll, and it, you know, it just kind of stuck. I like it, though.
I like it as well. I mean, it fits your persona. It fits what you do in your music, definitely. I mean, it's amazing. I remember being at a wedding in Michigan, and I heard Back on Track at the reception, and it really just set the tone for the atmosphere and, you know, for the ambiance. And I went, and I was like, what is that? You know, because I'm not really into jazz as much as I am into just old school R&B. But to me, they all go together. I mean, I love soothing music. So with that, I had to add to the collection. So when I said, oh, my gosh, I'll get to interview Mr. Dennis Nelson, and he is responsible for Back on Track, I have to know, what inspired that song?
Oh, thank you. Back on Track was when I was, I did that record when I was in Atlanta. But see, that's my third CD. So I took a, you know, sort of a, like a hiatus for a while after my second CD, which was still rolling, because I was getting involved into a little bit more acting and everything, and I was touring. And then I decided to get back involved and put another CD together. And then once it all came together, I said, okay, I feel it now. I'm back on track. So I was back recording again. And, you
That's
know, you
perfect.
Just go by the feel when you come up with these titles, you know.
I think that that's perfect. I mean, because like you said, you took some time off. And then when you came back and you came with that back on track, it was like, oh, smooth sailing.
Yeah.
So you have a Bachelor's of Arts degree in jazz. And you toured with Otis Day in the night on the movie Animal House. So tell
yes.
us about that. Like, what an experience was that?
Oh, that was like one of the most incredible experiences, because when I was in college, okay, so here's how that happened. So I'm in college, and they have this movie coming out called Animal House. So I just joined a fraternity, a music fraternity. I'm studying jazz, you know, and jazz, studying that along is real deep, so I want to get away. So I love comedy. So I go to this movie, and I see Animal House, and I see this group called Oldest Day in the Nights, and they were doing You Make Me Want to Shout. And the whole movie was hilarious, but Oldest Day in the Nights kind of really stuck, you know, stuck out of my head. So when I graduated from college, I went to California, went back to California with my brother. My brother's in the TV and film, and so I went and hung out with him. And I'll never forget, I was in a studio, and Otis, which is Dwayne Jesse Otis Day, walks in the door, and Greg Hanley, his nephew, and I go, "That's Otis Day." And he was kind of a little surprised that I kind of knew who he was, but, you know, I'd seen him in other movies also, but it was Animal House was like a cult kind of a movie for fraternity and sorority.
And, yes, it is.
And right after that, you know, and right after that, we became friends, and we kind of toured together for like 10 years. It was, what an awesome experience that was.
Oh, wow. 10 years on tour. That's some life. I mean, you know, what were some of the places that you guys went where you were like, you know, we always hear the good stories, like, oh, we went to, you know, Paris, and we just, you know, we did this. What were some of the places that you were like, oh, wow, this is small, but you found fans in, like, the smallest, like, hidden corners? What are some
of
those?
Okay, so our tours were based on college kids. So every Ivy League college from Yale to Princeton to Harvard, we played.
Wow.
And how great, oh yeah, it was such an experience to walk on all of these different campuses and play. And one of the biggest highlights was when we shut down the, we opened up the, we rung the bell. What's that? What do you do when you ring the bell in the morning at the stock market? In the New York stock market. We rung the bell. That was a highlight of my the career. I was like, wow, can't believe I'm doing this. And
yeah.
Me and one of the guys, Greg, just we just always say, "Are we over? Are we over yet? Are we over?"
Of course not.
Yeah.
So, I see that you, you know, because of course I've done my research. I've had to just really dig deep, and I said, you know what? I heard the song Back on Track maybe about 4 years ago, and that's when I really started to dig deep into jazz, and I was just like, man, you know, this is real grown folk music, as, you know, some people call it. So, I mean, it's like, who taught you how to play, or did you take professional lessons before college?
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. My mom, she would take our last $20 when I lived in New York. I was born in Alabama, but I went to school in New York and Alabama. But, you know, when I was living in New York, she would take our last $20 and pay for my guitar lessons. When she found out that I wanted to play at 13, 14, she said, "All right, if you're going to play, then you're going to take lessons." And she saw that I was real serious about it. And she hooked me up with, I don't know, now, there used to be a TV show called the Ed Sullivan TV show. You heard that before?
Yes. Ed Sullivan.
Back in the day. Okay, so just like the Tonight Show, he had a band, and his guitar player, he would only take certain people that he would teach, because I'm the same way. You know, you want to teach kids that really want to play, so you don't have time to go with the ones that just want to fool around and take the parents' money. So he took me on, and for a whole year, he just taught me every week some amazing stuff that I still use today. And that set the tone. And then, you know, I studied, like, listening to, back then we had albums, we didn't have CDs. I don't think we had cassettes back in the day.
Albums and 45.
I remember the 45. A-tracks. Well, I was in the baby crib, but I was in the baby crib when the A-tracks came along, but I remember watching my uncle put something in the A-track.
I remember that too, you know. You closed the top, and you didn't know what that was. It was a counter. You didn't know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You just knew you couldn't touch it.
Yeah, you opened it up and the party started.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, you know, all this music all the time. And then I remember taking, like, you know, one of Wes Montgomery's songs and playing it over and over and over again, and then trying to, you know, emulate what he was doing. But Hendrix and Santana and Wes Montgomery was my biggest influence. Now, I know they're different ends of the spectrum, but they Wes set me up for the jazz, so when I went to college, I kind of understood what they were doing. But Jimi Hendrix was playing, even though he considered rock and roll, he was playing jazz guitar licks. That's how advanced he was. I mean, that's how incredible he was. So he was, yeah. So,
Speaking of incredible, you've done praise and worship, gossip, jazz as well. I hear that you say gospel and jazz is the same music, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same audience. You know, my audience, like when I do concerts now, it's the same people. You know, you got to think about it, you know. Those same people that go to concerts or festivals, they're going to be in church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're going to be in church on Sunday. And why not take Amazing Grace and play the melody from your heart, which God gave you the talent, and put a spin on it? Why not? So that's what I'm doing now. But I have to give the credit to Kurt Whalum, because I heard him do it first. I was in a concert with him, and the audience just went crazy. He just loved it. So,
wow.
You know, yeah, so it's and I got to tell you, it's been really a spiritual moment in time that, you know, when I was recording these songs, they will do something to you if you play it over and over. They really will.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's what our listeners need. So I'm going to give them a little bit of candy and just give them a little treat of it, all right?
Okay.
So you guys stay tuned right here on Facebook Success Radio. I am your host, Ms. Diamond, and we have the wonderful Mr. Dennis Nelson in the studio. So we'll be right back. But right now we have candy, Mr. Dennis Nelson.
Candy. Thank you.
That was Candy by Mr. Dennis Nelson right here on Face of Success Radio. I am your host, Ms. Diamond, and you have tuned in to Interviews with the Stars. So, Mr. Nelson, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks for having me back.
Of course, anytime. So, you worked on a film for more than 7 years called Not in My House. What was the inspiration for that film? Because a lot of people just think, oh, Mr. Dennis Nelson, he's just a jazz or a lead guitarist. No, you are a filmmaker. So that's something else that you have added to your professional accolades. So how did that come about? What was the inspiration? I know it took 7 years, but what was really the driving force behind it?
Well, what happened was I lived in L.A., for forever, and my mom, she got sick, so I moved down to Atlanta. So while I was in Atlanta, going back and forth from Mobile to Atlanta, I just started writing. I guess because a lot of people would say on my concert, "Oh, you're so funny! One day you're gonna be a comedian." Blah, blah, blah. I could always write. I could always write stories. Yeah, I just really just got serious about it. I learned how to edit. I learned how to write screenplays, and I just had this concept in my head. I just wrote it down, wrote it on paper, and then I just pretty much I created a TV show first. Now, what I did was I created a local TV show called Living in the Fast Lane, and it was really based off that TV show. And, it really did take 7 years. I used to see people say, it took me 10 years to get the film out and thanks for the Oscar in like 10 years. But yes, yeah, it took 7 years. I'm excited about it too.
Well, as well as you should. It's a comedy suspense thriller.
Yes.
So is that your personality wrapped up all in one or wrapped up all in three?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm kind of twisted, kind of like, that. Like, for me to come up with that movie, Not in My House, it's crazy. It's I'll tell you a little bit about the movie. It's about a guy, a musician, which is me, a musician who marries a girl. She's a doctor. She's psycho, and her friend. She finds out she's got 9 months to live. And she asked her girlfriend to have a baby for me so that I wouldn't be alone. And then, but nobody tells me anything about it. And then after 9 months, she finds out that she's not going to die. Oops.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess that's where the suspense comes in at, because it's like, oh, man, this is going to happen, but then it's like you don't know what's really going to happen. We never know what the future may hold.
Yeah, it's a lot of twists in it because you really think about it. How many girls or ladies will ask their girlfriend to have a child for them because they're dying? So I want you to have a child, with my husband so he won't be alone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That
you wouldn't do that.
No, that definitely can't end well.
No, it doesn't.
Exactly. No. So you perform with legends such as Ray Charles and the Temptations. I mean, that's amazing right there in itself. I mean, what was it like working with Mr. Ray Charles, seeing someone who, of course, we've all seen the movie Ray, and we've kind of gotten a glimpse of, a little bit of his life and how he got started. But what was it really like working next to someone such as Ray Charles?
So there was two movies that came out that they nailed it. The Ray Charles movie and the Temptations movie. They nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Charles was an amazing person, genius. Okay? So we would have like maybe 16 people in the orchestra. He can tell you who's playing the wrong note and call you out.
Mm.
That kind of genius, I love working with Ray Charles. I mean, I got a chance to to go to Africa, Paris, 2 or 3 times. I did it, you know, fresh out of college. I was young. It was a lot of fun. And when I wanted a raise, I went to him by myself. I said, Mr. Charles, I need a raise. He said, oh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Wow.
Gave it to me. Yeah, it was
amazing.
And I took it all in, too.
You said you took it all in, huh?
Yeah, I took it all in, yeah.
One thing that I did hear about Mr. Ray Charles is that he was a very generous person. So I think that's amazing. Every time you go to him and say, hey, I need a raise, you know, he either gave it to you or made you work it for, but he still gave it to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, what people don't talk about is that, you know, and you got to remember, he had like 16, 17 people out there employed when people were cutting back. And he would mm-hmm. still take the big band because that was his sound. So, you know, he kept people working. Yeah, that's the way I looked at it. He kept people working. And, I mean, I would have been working with him up to the end, but I, of course, had, you know, aspirations of doing other things like writing and producing. But no, he kept a lot of guys that wouldn't normally work as much. He kept them on the payroll. So he was an amazing guy.
Wow, that's awesome. So, Mr. Otis Williams, he's a longtime friend of yours. You guys have partnered together for over 17 years with your career, working with the Temptations.
Yes, just got off the phone with him a couple of days ago, and I saw him when he was in Mississippi about a week ago. And we're actually about to start working on a new CD for the Temps. And Ozing is another amazing guy. Think about this. He's probably been through maybe 23 Temptations, you know, that came in the group. And to keep 5 guys together, he started the group. And he's not the lead singer. So
right.
Normally,
that's a lot of changes.
Right, you know. That's a lot of changes, and that's some big ears to find that, you know, to go out and find Dennis Edwards and to find Ollie Woodson and all those other guys that just have these amazing supernatural voices to create this sound. And I call Otis the last man standing, you know. And he still looks good up there, too. Got the steps, got the moves, and we're about to start writing together again.
That's cool. I can't believe you said you guys are going to start writing together. I mean, you guys have been working together for, like I said, over 17 years, and you've appeared on Phoenix Rising today by The Temptations. That's like one of my absolute most favorite Temptations songs ever. I remember a few years back, my best friend and I, we played Phoenix Rising until we couldn't play it anymore. It was something about that CD that just really, you know, we would get ready to go out and, you know, think of all the young girls going out and, you know, all of our friends are playing rap music and we're in a car and we're listening to Phoenix Rising.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the club, and when it's time to slow things down and they would play Stay, you would see her and I on the dance floor. Like, that was our song. So it's just something about that CD and something about that song, you know. Amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, you like good music. You know, you like melodies and rhythm, you know, that goes. I love rap. I love the groove, but it's nothing like having that song where you can hear the melody and the voices and the harmonies. I mean, it's, you know, back in the day, they were really writing back then. I mean, it was a passion, you know. And how about this? So on their box set, The Emperor of Soul, you know, I was the only one that to produce and write 4 new tracks. Otis and I have never, and we laugh at this all the time, Otis and I have never sat in the same room together and write a song.
Really? How does that even
never,
happen,
never.
Though?
we
Is it like
you
come
know,
up with your part?
Yeah, he'll come up. Go ahead. He comes up with he does the lyrics, and then I'll have the guitar in my hand, and he'll just start, you know, hey, try this out, and he'll start singing this vibe, and before you know it, you know, we got something that we live, you know. Never in the same room.
Wow. Well, I want to say congratulations on winning the Grammy for the Best R&B Traditional Vocalist of the Year for Irresistible CD. So congratulations to you for that.
Yeah. So the actual Temptations won. I was one of maybe three or four producers that was recognized because we produced, I think, Ronaldo, Michael Walden was on it. Myself and a couple of others. So we didn't actually get a chance to walk across the floor, but, you know, that was a high honor that they won, you know, that they won best. I'm looking at it right now. What does it say on here? National Academy of Recording Artists and Science present the certificates. Dennis Nelson in recognition of your participation as producer. I got to use my English voice when you read this, you know. You can't just use a regular voice. Doesn't work. On the Grammy Award winning recording Irresistible, The Temptations. Best Traditional R&B Vocal Album, 43rd Awards Year 2000. Yeah, that was pretty, that was a high right there within itself when you have NARIS, what they call you up and says, congratulations and thank you for being a part of this. Now that kind of made my day.
I would think that would make my week, my month, my year, you know, because that's an experience that you just can't get back, and that's something that is going to definitely live on forever. It's going to live through your children, your children's children, because, you know, that's amazing. A lot of people don't get that opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great because I remember my wife came in, she kicked me to the curb, you know, she said, hey, I'm leaving you and all this, and then all of a sudden I get a call from there. I was like, bye.
Oh, no. Oh goodness! So,
she
said she left, and then that was just it, huh?
Oh yeah. But it was great though. It was great because then my career really started to take off in a whole other direction. So, you know, God has a way of cutting the fat. You know, making sure that. Did I say that? You know, God has a way of making a way for you, you know, putting things you know, just taking away
regardless
all the negative
of your situation.
Oh, yeah. I tell people all the time, there's always a positive in your situation. You can't see it, but it's there. You have to look beyond what you're going through. I know it's very hard to imagine because you're going through it, but you have to pull yourself out of your body, okay? And you got to look at that person who's going through that, and then you got to say, ah, okay, I know what I need to do right here. And then positive things will happen. It'll just start coming to you.
That is awesome advice. Awesome advice. See that you've worked with some big-name groups, but tell me some of the big name groups that you haven't had the opportunity to work with that you would love to work with. I mean, if any group called you right now to say, hey, I need you to work with us or I want you to work with us, who would that group be?
Well, I didn't get a chance to work with Michael Jackson, although I recorded in his studio at Westlake. I recorded all my records at the studio where the great one recorded Thriller. I don't know. You know, who would I like to work with right now? I wish I could have gotten on the when Bobby Brown was coming along when they were really, really hot. I almost got a chance to work with them and New Edition and that the Cracks. I don't know. I wish I could work with George Benson. That would be a treat to work with George Benson right about now. That would be a real treat, and if I wanted to take it to another level, someone like Santana would be great.
Santana's music is awesome. It is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
And he's always
evolving.
I can
actually hear that.
Yes, yes. You know, one day I'll sing you in a live recording, because my records are totally different than what I do live.
Okay. I would love that.
So what I, yeah, so what I do live is like, it's all crunchy and it's smooth, but it has an edge on it. It has a lot of edge. And then sometimes I'll play like acoustic. You hear the acoustic?
Yeah.
So I like to play acoustic a lot too.
Amazing. So for those of you who have just tuned in, we have Mr. Dennis Nelson in the studio. And he's been everywhere. He's done some of everything. I mean, this guy. I'm going to give your listeners a treat. I'm going to play Rolling for them. So tell us how Rolling came about.
Rolling with Passion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, I really love Rolling with Passion. My daughter actually came up with that title. If she's listening, it's her first time hearing this. But, you know, of course, my name was Finger Roll that they call me. And whenever I would meet somebody, I would say, I'm Dennis Nelson, and then I would say, hey, you probably know me as Finger Roll. And so she would just mimic me and make me laugh all the time. And I was recording the record, and it was Rolling with Passion was actually the last song and became the title. Because she said, Dad, you know when you play, I know they call you Finger Roll, but you roll with so much passion. And I said, wow. And that became the title of the album, just like that.
So is your daughter into music, or has your children taken on, basically like all the lessons from you that they can get? Like, oh my God, Dad is, Dad is this huge guitarist, and he's into jazz. He's all over everyone. He's working with all these people. Have your children really grasped the music industry at all, or are they kind of like, that's not for me?
Yeah, I'm kind of, it's kind of hard for kids, I think, to, unless they just have it flowing all through their body, their bones, because they're always going to be walking in the shadows of somebody like myself that plays. Like, just think about it. Like, you have a Michael Jordan and his son. Can you imagine the pressure of having to, to try to be like his dad? And, and really, it's really very hard to do. And nobody's going to actually outdo Michael Jordan. So, and my kids, my girls, like one of my girls just got a master's degree, and then the baby girl just picked up 2 degrees. So the baby girl could play music, but I was on tour a lot, and I didn't get a chance to, kind of help them with the talent and bring it to life. And and ask you a question. Now, nobody's really playing. The baby girl probably plays more than everybody, but I'm just happy that they're doing great, and they're kind of finding their way. Now, my son, he's an actor, so he's falling into the entertainment business big time, so that's good. That's good.
Okay. So congratulations to you as a parent for having, good kids who are on the right path to do the right things in life, regardless. They're not like celebrity kids,
Right.
You know that whole thing. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, going down the wrong path of, drinking and drugs and just, that life, because they live that life in the spotlight, And fortunately for you and your children, they have not followed in those type of footsteps. But what I'm going to play is Going Up Yonder. Go ahead.
You're going to play Rolling with Passion?
No, I'm going to play Going Up Yonder.
Oh, Going Up Yonder. Yes. Yes. Okay.
I heard that was one of the ones you really liked, so I decided, let me find that one for him.
Yes, I love that. And I have a
I'm
video
gonna go
on
ahead
that
and
one,
play
too.
On YouTube, of course.
Yeah, the video, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we come back, you'll be able to give your listeners an opportunity to contact you and to see some of your videos.
on YouTube and on Facebook. Some of them are on my page. So for those of you who are listening, my page is Miss Diamond Hot Topics. I'm your host right here on Interviews with the Stars. We have Mr. Dennis Nelson in the building, and this is Going Up Yonder. Another amazing song by Mr. Dennis Nelson, Going Up Yonder, right here on Faces of Success Radio. I am your host, Miss Diamond, and you have tuned into Interviews with the Stars. We have Mr. Dennis Nelson in the building.
Mr. Nelson.
Hey. That was my first time hearing that on the radio. I love it.
Oh, great. So tell me how I really felt when you heard the first song you completed, the first version you completed on the radio. How did that make you feel?
Oh, like the first song one of my first songs I ever heard on the radio?
No, one of the first songs you've ever, you know, been a part of and you heard it finally on the radio.
Okay, yeah, now that's a very good question. I can tell you exactly where I was and what happened. That was a guy named Robert Palmer. This album called Riptide. I don't know if you remember the Addicted to Love when they had all the girls. The girls were dressed up, looked like models, and they were playing. The guy was singing. And I wrote a song called Hyperactive on that album. That album went platinum and gold. And we were in the
it
truck.
Did.
We were, I was on tour at Otis Day and the Night. We're in Massachusetts somewhere, and riding in the snow on the way to the gig, and I was asleep in the back. And the bass player told me, Dennis, wake up. They're playing your song. And they were playing my song on the radio. And it was on a Sunday when Casey Kasem, who was having to be very sick right now, you know, when he did the top 40s, Casey Kasem would do the top 40s. And my song,
yeah,
I think
that
was like number 20. Yeah, my song was climbing up the charts. And that was, now that was an amazing feeling. That was an amazing feeling. That really was.
I bet you wouldn't trade that in for the world, which is awesome.
Oh God, that was so good. And when I saw him in concert, because my song was hot at the time, they played it as the encore. I almost passed out.
Yeah, like this is really happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. It was really happening. You know, I mean, imagine, you know, going to California and things are happening just like, you know, you read about it and everything. And, you know, so it was a great feeling. Yeah,
I definitely understand that, and I definitely can relate to that as well.
Yeah, it was, I remember the first time I saw Michael Jackson come to the studio, I couldn't even speak to him. He walked right by me. I was shocked.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And only in California where the dreams happen, the dreams come true, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, you have to have strong skin, though. You have to have very strong skin, very strong constitution. You know, it could eat you up. But, you know, if you believe in what you do and you got to have a great background, great Christian background, you know, you've been to church and you can hear your grandmother saying, put that down, and you put it down, you know.
I can definitely relate to that. I moved from Michigan, and now I reside in California as well, so I'm definitely loving the experience that I've had here and going to continue on forward.
That's right.
So tell your fans how.
On your show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I really do. I enjoy what I do. And I enjoy Faces of Success Radio for at least just having me as a host here. So tell your fans how they can contact you and what can they look forward to?
Well, they can look forward to, first, how they can contact me is very easy, DennisFingerRollNelson.com. That's Dennis Finger, like your fingers, because on the guitar, DennisFingerRollNelson.com. They can look forward to, in the coming weeks, a gospel smooth jazz CD called Give Me a Clean Heart. You can play this CD for your grandmother, your auntie, uncle, and for your kids, and you're just going to have a spiritual experience with the music. I guarantee it. Put a lot of time in this, a lot of soul, and I feel real good about this CD. This is one of my best, and it's called Give Me a Clean Heart.
Well, there you have it. I want to say thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on Interviews with the Stars today. You are an amazing guest. I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for this opportunity and, you know, sharing all of your experiences, not with just me, but for your fans and your listeners. You know, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, when I first came on, when I said I just keep quiet, I was actually talking about when you were talking to our relationships and the man and the woman. And I was listening into you, and I said the way I deal with the relationship with between man and woman, I just be quiet and let the
Is
woman.
Is that the smartest thing to do?
Yes. if you want peace.
You know what? I'm going to take that advice myself, and I'm going to hand that out like a pamphlet. Keep quiet in your relationship. You know, that's how we're going to do. So, again, I want to say thank you all for tuning in to Interviews with the Stars, and Mr. Dennis Nelson has been a pleasure here in the studio today. So, again, thank you, Mr. Dennis Nelson, and I'm going to end the show today with playing Give Me a Clean Heart right here on Faith of Success Radio.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was awesome.